Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug. I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from the muck with another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, August 30th. We did it. Fuck you, August 2020. And my guests, so excited about this. I got to rearrange some stuff, though, because I'd like to do it in alphabetical order. We have a last-minute edition. My guests today are Steve Agee, Matt Belknap, and Open Mike Eagle.
Woo!
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, hello, Doug. Fellas.
Hey, Doug, does your theme song say you hate sticky seats?
Yeah, you know, the theme song was recorded, over a decade ago, back when there were still some pornographic theaters.
Okay. So I was wondering
those
about
those particular theaters. I do not care for the sticky seats.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't. That's not as much of an issue these days.
No.
I made that theme song.
What's that?
Who made the theme song?
You don't know?
No.
After all these years?
Mike Furman?
Sometimes, yeah. Mike and Chris Hardwick. It went hard and firm. I reached out to them. They were, that's how long ago this was. They were a team.
Yeah.
And I said, guys, you want to do this theme song for free? And they were like, no problem. We're just going to make sure to put some words in there that people will ask you about for the rest of your life.
There you go. That's a trade-off. That's a proper trade-off.
Because people don't understand what they're saying when it says 30 ads.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 30 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. It's like it goes fast and people, it's hard to figure it out. But thank you for your question. Let's meet my guests individually and alphabetically, starting with Steve Agee. Hello, Steve.
Hi, man. Long time. Last time I saw you was in Atlanta.
That's true. That's the first thing I was going to bring up is the last time we spoke on this program, you were not allowed to say which part you were playing in Suicide.
Which parts?
Yeah, exactly, as it turns out.
Yeah.
So tell us now, it's the King Shark.
I was King Shark on set. I basically was doing what Sean Gunn did with Rocket. I was there
for most of the performance. Bradley Cooper swoops in and takes all the credit.
Yeah,
for standing around a booth for 20 minutes.
Much like Bradley Cooper, some other asshole is going to step in and work for a day and get all the King Shark credit. But
we
then
know who that is. Do you know who's doing the voice?
I actually don't. No.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so there's that, and then I play a character, an actual live-action character named John Economus, who's in the actual original comic series.
What's his deal, or are you not allowed to say?
Well, in the comic books, he is the, I believe he's the original, I could be wrong, but I think he is the original warden for Belrev Prison. Which is where they're all based out of, where the, you know, all these supervillains are housed.
Mm-hmm. But it's something kind of different now in the movie.
Maybe. Nice try.
Man, you were really loose and just talking, and then we already came to a dead end.
Oops.
But we also are not going to see the film until when?
Almost a year, next August.
August of 2021.
Yeah, I want to say August 6th, I think, is the release date.
Well, I'm excited for it. And we also have never had a chance, you and I, to discuss that we are both voices of blobby weirdos in Justin Roiland's Squanch game, Trover Saves the Universe.
That's right. And I only just recently was able to hear and see our actual performances.
Well, you know, I don't have video game stuff at home, and I certainly don't have the, you know, VR headset and all that business. And so I just finally one day it just dawned on me, oh, there's YouTube. Dudes that just go on YouTube and just show the whole game.
That's how I saw it.
That's how I saw it. I just sat and watched. I had to, you know, after a while, I finally had to like start fast forwarding because I tried to watch it naturally and I just got tired of waiting for my part.
Yeah.
But once I got to my part, it's just the trouble is that the guy playing isn't terrible at it. So, so a lot of the lines that I said, I still haven't heard.
Right.
Because I've just got to, you know, either play the game or watch somebody play the game and have them just stand around and not accomplish anything because there's so much stuff that Justin had us say that's there when the person's like failing to move on to what they're supposed to do next.
Well, you should put that out to your listeners, anybody who has the game and is playing it or has played it, to, you know, make a recording of all the Doug Benson parts.
I love this.
What's a Squanch game? I don't know what that is. It's a weird sounding thing to me. What is that?
That's the name of his gaming company, Squanch.
Oh.
Squanch Games.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's in line with all of the silly words he's always making up.
Yeah. I thought it was just an adjective everybody knew except me. So it's good to know that it's proprietary.
Yeah. I didn't know either. I'm glad you asked because I was too afraid to ask.
I feel like I'm going to be asking a lot of questions in the show. I feel like that's going to be my position.
Well, we appreciate you being here. And it's strange that someone with the last name Eagle would be third alphabetically, but that's how that shook out. Matt Belknap is here. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Doug. How's it going?
It's going great. We had a little bit of a snafu today. The reason you're a guest, I mean, you're always welcome to be a guest, of course, because you're the only reason I would ever listen to Never Not Funny. And you were here as in the role of producer today.
Right.
And we had an issue with our the email link that we have to send out to people. Casper Van Dien was going to be here, who is the actor, of course, most famous for playing Johnny Rico in Starship Troopers. And,
yeah.
You know, I hope he's not just sitting somewhere wondering where we are and thinking of us like bugs and thinking the only good bug is a dead bug. We don't want to get that guy mad at us. He's intense.
Yeah.
But he's a very nice actor. He did, were you there when he did Douglas movies at Meltdown Comics one time?
I don't think so. I think I would remember that because he's a very strikingly handsome man. So I can't imagine forgetting seeing him in person.
Yeah, Ryan was, I mean, yeah, Ryan.
Yeah, no, you're right. You were right. You got
it right. Right, Ryan. Ryan was there. And yeah. I assume, maybe not even.
Probably. Him. Yeah.
But yeah, I think he was on with Rosa Salazar and I want to say a comedian, maybe Ken Reed was on that one. But anyway, he was a great guest, super nice. Mm-hmm. Didn't mind how hot it was at Meltdown Comics. Didn't mind the crickets. It was really a pleasant experience.
So he doesn't hate bugs. That was just a role.
Yeah, exactly. And he also hung out, watched me and all my other friends, you know, smoke weed in the, out behind the comic book store in front of the fire station. It was great times.
Nice.
But he has a movie, that's part of why I coaxed him into doing this is because he's got a movie. That opens on Tuesday. By opens, I don't know what that means. Some theaters and drive-ins. Not sure about on demand because they're really theaters are really opening.
Crazy.
It's called The Second. So there's your plug.
Yeah, check
Johnny
out The Second.
Rico.
And
Matt Belknap, what have you been up to? Has Never Not Funny been, have you and Jimmy Pardo been cranking out episodes during this whole thing?
Yes, we have. We actually are doing 3 episodes a week now, mostly because Jimmy's bored at home and has nothing else to do. So we added a third episode a week, and that's for our paying subscribers. We have like a premium thing that the hardcore fans do. So yeah, we've been pretty busy definitely didn't think we would still be doing this in August, but here we are.
Right. I know, we were all like, oh, we'll do these Zoom shows for a couple of months, that'll get us to the next phase.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for jumping in.
Sure.
And of course, all the questions I have for Casper, I'm going to ask you.
Go right ahead. I'm ready.
Be ready for that. I don't even have any questions for him.
What's Dina Meyer really like?
Yeah, that's a great. Who's your favorite Busey?
It's always Gary. It's always Gary.
Yeah, and also joining us today with I believe a new album coming out soon. It's Open Mike Eagle.
Yeah, you believe right. It doesn't come out till October though.
But it's one of those memory tests for me. The title, it's anime. What else?
Trauma and divorce. It's those three things that don't go together overtly at all.
It's one of those 3-word tests like I took in Super High Me, where like after ever I like you know cab avocado brick. Yeah. So that's coming out on what date?
October 16th.
Nice. All right. I know you feel weird about promoting it right now, but
everybody's going through shit and I made an album about my own shit I was going through before the world fell apart. So it's a little strange to first of all, I'm trying to sell it, which is weird. Uh-huh. And then, you know, I'm trying to promote it during a time when everybody's fucking depressed. So I don't know. It feels a little strange at the moment, you know?
Yeah, but you're, what you put into your music, it could soothe people or, you know, inspire people in so many different ways. I think that music is the one thing where I think every musician should be making music right now and just putting it out, and whether it's, you know, whether they're getting rich off it or not, just that's, I think the music's the one thing that, you know, can really just make people feel better. Everything else, and even some music, obviously, lyrically, music could upset people. But you know what I mean? I just think that, like Lady Gaga was like, I'm not going to put out my album. It's just like, well, why not? Like,
Yeah.
You're not going to distract the world that much with your...
No, that's not what she means, though. She might be making it sound altruistic. What she means is, like, all the stores are broken. You know what I mean? So she doesn't want to, like, miss out on that extra 500 grand that she would have made if like, all the vinyl stores were still open and all that sort of jazz.
Yeah, that's the tricky part of, like, that's what's going on with movies now, is it's just a giant chess game, because every movie... You know, they're doing the research and figuring out, well, is it going to, you know, which way is it going to do best for us in these circumstances?
Why doesn't everybody just go the VOD route? I don't understand why they don't do that. Why they don't sell it through Roku or whatever the hell.
Because these blockbuster movies, especially Christopher Nolan's Tenet, but these movies in general, it's all about the big screen, like the
experience.
The experience, yeah. And it's just like, and the thing is that they can get, you know, they get the double hit with the, you know, if you have it in theaters and then VOD, then they're getting money for the same movie twice.
Right.
And going straight to VOD is really, you know, cutting into, but to the point of, like, it's insane how far off they're putting some movies. I mean, like, I feel like Suicide Squad 2 isn't really actually done, so it's not such a big deal that it's a year from now. But, like, the Fast and Furious number 9, you know, that was supposed to come out, like, in April, and now it's not coming out till next year. It's just sitting there. It's completely done. Mm. We could be enjoying it.
I would love to see all that. I'm so bummed when... I was bummed when Tenet, you know, was pushed, because of course it'd be better to see it in the theater, but I got nothing going on. I'm just doing nothing.
You know what I noticed, Steve? So the world was already shitty, but then, like, everything got markedly shittier once the Jordan documentary ended. Like, the day after that, the day after, people were rioting in the streets.
Oh my God. How good was that?
It was the best. It gave us the reason to live for a few weeks. It was great.
So good.
I wanted to just bring back to the show, not that I ever really did it regularly, but I think it's really interesting now that there is weekend box office reports, and I have the results for this particular weekend.
Oh, no. From the two theaters that are open?
Yeah, well, it turns out there's, like, over... I think over 2,000 screens.
Wow.
A lot of it's, I guess, is drive-ins, but, you know, not more than 20%, I don't think.
I bet, and I know what number one was.
Well, it was the one big movie that came out.
Yeah.
The New Mutants.
Oh, that was in theaters?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, I would have said Bill and Ted.
Oh, no, I'm talking about movies that are actually, you know, in theaters.
Bill and Ted's playing at drive-ins, but yeah,
Bill and Ted's just drive-ins and VOD, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think this is talking about just domestic screens, you know, because there's just a lot of places that have opened up enough, and a lot of these theaters they're just doing it at, like, 50% capacity with an empty seat in between each group.
Right.
But I wouldn't. And masks. I'm not going to watch a movie in a theater with a mask on. That's where I draw the line.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, I'll go everywhere else with a mask on. I believe in wearing masks. I'm just not going to go sit in a movie theater, like, feeling like I'm in the middle of, like, unless the movie's Contagion, then I can see it.
Oh, my God.
Like, then it'd be like an immersive experience.
Right, you know? Yeah, that's true. But, I just had a fucked up thought. Like, they should have movie theaters set aside for people who all have tested positive and they're up and about, where they can just go. Or, like, you know, I'm sure the industry would love it, even though it would be fucked up.
Yeah, antibody theaters.
Yeah, they should just do that. They should have those. They don't have to distance. They can pack them in.
Yeah, I think they should also, maybe some places are looking into this. I think there should be more theater rentals where you just rent the theater and then you decide, you know, which and how many people are going to be at your screening. Mm.
A good idea,
but again, that's like, that's a, you know, that's going to be for rich people, that's not going to be fair, so forget I ever suggested
it. I did think it would have been possible to sell them at, like, 25% capacity with the way things are now, like you see that at restaurants, people are sitting two tables apart. Like, what's the difference? It's the same premise, but maybe not though. I don't know if you're in the theater, maybe the air conditioning is blowing germs into your face, but it just, I assumed that that would be the first step and that we would be there by now. But I guess, I'm glad they're being careful. I there's so much money being lost. It's kind of insane.
Yeah, and that's the big fight right now is people are mad at the governor of California for refusing to let, you know, things open back up. And so they're like, now there's this big push to, you know, there's protests to try to get him out.
Right. I saw like, that, yeah.
Wow, that is really an interesting thing. All the things that are going on right now and you're putting your energy into, this guy won't let Disneyland open up soon enough.
Right.
Crazy.
I know people need to get back to work. I completely get that, but it's got to be safety first, you know. The New Mutants, like I said, made $7 million. That's considered the number one.
Wow,
that's their box office champ for the weekend, and that movie is a one of the series of movies, you know, it's part of a franchise. So it's like, I bet you it would have made 50, 60 million first weekend. If things were normal. Number two is Unhinged, which was the number one movie last week. That's the Russell Crowe is mad about something and takes a baseball bat to some headlights or something. Like that's what I get from the poster.
Oh, that's the one where there was a viral video of him going around like talking about his movie and like getting really like aggressive about it. Did you see that?
I didn't see any of that, but it does sound like something that would happen.
He starts talking about his movie, and then as it goes on, he's like starts getting really fucking aggressive. It's, oh my God, it's so good.
Oh, I gotta check that out. And the rest is just like, you know, SpongeBob on the Run made $604,000. It's, you know, the second SpongeBob movie, I guess.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then there's some movie called The Personal History of David Copperfield. Oh. I don't have any idea what that is. I guess maybe it's an art house movie. And then another movie that I am not familiar with called Words on Bathroom Walls. Might not be a movie. Might just be a series of images.
It sounds like a Ken Burns documentary.
Let's see. I've done baseball and jazz. Oh, Bathroom Walls. The history of words on bathroom walls. So those both made like 500 and 400 grand respectively. So it's but that's the box office report is
Jesus. So if you go to a theater right now, those are your choices? Like that's it? That's what you got.
Well, that and then also what they've been doing at a lot of places for a few months now is like Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day, Jaws, like just showing the shit out of classics.
Comfort movies.
Yeah, because that's what they do at the drive-ins a lot too, because like drive-ins now are multiplexed. So like they've got to, you know, they've got to put together like 4 to 6 double bills at each drive-in, because that's the other thing that drive-ins still do, which is amazing to me, is
double features.
You know, two movies. Yeah, so it's always two. The choices right now are so random. I like looking at the drive-in theaters and just seeing the crazy double bills that they've been coming up with.
Yeah.
You know, like Trolls World Tour and Invisible Man. Like,
have you been to a drive-in movie, Doug, in the last few months?
I went the other night to, they did a Amazon Prime, did a series of drive-in events at drive-ins, at two different drive-ins in Southern California, and it was curated by Michael B. Jordan, and the premise of it, and it started at the beginning of summer, but you know, the timing's been perfect. The premise of it is black films, but what that's also, they want to show popular ones. So I already talked about this on the show last week, but like one of the movies they showed is Hook. Which on the face of it seems to me like it's about a white family.
Yeah.
But there is Rufio.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So the Lost Boys are an ethnic mix, so that's why it got in there.
Wow.
Yeah. No,
I feel like that doesn't check either box. It's not a black film and it's not popular. Like, who likes that?
But the popular part is arguable. Every time I mention Hook on stage, the entire crowd chants Rufio without.
Okay. I guess that generation maybe.
They're super into it. But you know, the night I went, they showed. And also, you'd have a choice between movies. So the night I went, it was either Girls Trip or Coming to America. And since Coming to America 2 is coming out later this year, that just put me in a mood to, you know, check that out. So me and my girlfriend went to the City of Industry Vineland Drive-In Theater.
Yeah.
And just stayed in our car with the windows rolled up and saw an old movie that is way dirtier than I ever remembered it being. I thought it was like a family comedy.
Coming to America?
Yeah.
Oh no, the royal penis is clean, man. Oh, yeah. Very dirty. It's very dirty.
Koozie blowjob right at the beginning.
So dirty, yeah. And I also I see it on VH1 and shit. So they cut out the fact that all of Eddie Murphy's slave women in the beginning, all of his servants, I should say, are topless, or you get a good shot of their butt, and then they drop F-bombs. I think it's the debut of Samuel Jackson saying motherfucker in a movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
With much conviction. That's when he robbed McDowell's, right?
Yeah. He robs the place. And Akeem is really clever. He screws the mop end of his mop off so that he just has the stick. You don't need to mess around with the rest of that mop. And then he goes over there and he takes him down, and with the help of his assistant, Simi, played by Arsenio Hall. It is so funny how many parts those two guys play in that movie. It is it was almost like they were pranking the, you know, Paramount by playing all the parts. And every time one of them shows up as a different character, it will not move the story forward.
But suddenly they're just talking about boxing for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Cover shop. It's got nothing to do with what's happening.
It's just there for fun. And it really is fun. Okay, so what were we talking about? Why did I go
drive
on?
Drive-in box office.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we got to play some games. There's been a lot of talk here, and people come for the games. So let's get to that. We're going to start with one. It's brand new. It's called Too Fast, I'm Furious.
I like that title.
Well, you're not going to like this game. I'm going to go to you first, Steve. I'm going to ask you a Fast and Furious related multiple choice question.
Oh, no.
Which the answer is one of these three things.
Okay.
The Fast and the Furious, or Fast Five, or Furious Seven.
Okay.
Those are your three choices.
Okay.
For the question. If you get it wrong, then we'll move to Matt Belknap, who gets a shot at it. And if he gets it wrong, then boy, oh boy, Open Mike Eagle gets that lucky point. And then we just move from there. First person to get 2 points wins the game.
Okay.
It's just the first game. It's kind of a warm-up. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Steve Agee?
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson's first appearance
Fast Five.
Fast and Furious franchise was in
Fast Five.
Which there's a weird thing with my sound. I keep hearing.
Sorry.
I keep hearing answers before the question is finished. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That is correct. I didn't realize, and of course, you know, I try not to plan these games for specific people.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize I'd have such a Fast and Furious aficionado on.
Well, I will tell you, because of this the quarantine, I took it upon myself early to start watching series like Harry Potter series and the Fast and the Furious series, movies I had never seen. So I've seen a lot of these movies now.
Which do you have favorites?
Fast Five, I think, was my favorite one.
I think it is the most entertaining one. And yeah. Then what about in the Harry Potter films?
I'm really bad with the names of those ones.
Did you like them, though?
Yeah, and I thought they got better, too, as the kids got older and the subjects got darker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first two, I just... When they come up in polite company, I just eye roll and walk away.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to upset anybody, but cool. Azkaban just turned it around, and then I feel like I feel like there's none better than that one. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
I think they went back. They fell back into the trap of just trying to adapt every goddamn thing that happens exactly, instead of taking some license and, you know, making it more of a, you know, interesting film.
Yeah.
But they're all, you know, they all have stuff. They all have some value. You know, as long as Dobby's not on screen, I'm pretty happy.
The Jar Jar of the Harry.
It's so funny, too, because he's like so much in the second one and so annoying. And then he disappears for many of the movies. And then when he shows back up again, it's just to die and make you feel sad that he's dying, even though you never liked him in the first place.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, I really like felt sad when he died. I was like, damn you. Because if Jar Jar died, I there's no way. There's no way I would shed a tear.
Probably not.
I didn't cry over the Ewoks. Why would I cry over... I mean, I know only one... I think only one Ewok is really seen as dead.
Yeah, there's that one sad shot where he's just limp on the ground.
Well, doesn't another Ewok like try to move him and he doesn't?
Yeah. Oh, right, right, yeah. Ugh.
Oh my God. Forgot about all of them.
It's like a puppy finding a dead puppy.
Not so cute anymore, are you?
Oh, no, but it still kind of is. Okay, so it's still puppies. So which, we'll start with you or go to you next, Matt.
Yeah,
Steve's on the board with 1 point. So you really gotta get this.
And I'm pissed about that because I've seen like one or two of these movies, but I knew the answer to that one just by like I could feel my way through that idea. But this one, I'm sure. Go ahead.
Which is the first Fast and Furious movie to be over 2 hours in length?
Hmm.
The very first one? Was it the fifth one or the seventh one?
I saw the first one and I don't remember it being overly long. So I'm gonna go ahead and say it was the fifth one. That seems like they would have gone all out on that.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did it. Yeah. That one suddenly 2 hours, 10 minutes, and they just keep creeping. Like I think Calvin and Hobbes was like
Calvin and Hobbes.
I think it was I think it was 3.5 hours long. I think if you watch it next to The Irishman, they sync up.
Yeah.
All right. So Matt got a point. Steve got a point. Here we go, Mike.
I've never seen any of these movies. Not one. Never.
All right.
Seen
well, I still feel like you might be able to figure it out. We'll see.
I'm all heart on these. All right. All feels.
What was the first Fast and Furious movie to be released in IMAX between The Fast and the Furious, Fast Five or Furious Seven?
The Fast and the Furious.
You think out of the gate they were just like,
I don't know. They can't all be Fast Five. That can't be the answer for every question.
Or can they?
Damn it. Exactly.
Incorrect.
Ah, my heart is fucked up.
Let's go to Steve.
Well, I'm under the same, I have the same theory as Mike. I don't think it would be Fast Five 3 times in a row, so I'm going to go Furious Seven.
That's incorrect.
Jesus Christ. Damn it, Douglas.
I saw it on a fucking TV, so...
That's the same.
All right, Matt, this is yours to lose.
Oh, boy. Doug, I'm going to say Fast Five.
You're going to go with the one remaining answer?
Yeah.
You're going to assume that I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Not only that, but even though I haven't seen those later movies, having been the producer of your podcast for 14 years, I feel like it is exactly like you to just have the same answer three times in a row. So I was feeling it all the way through. I was feeling it's got to be Fast Five.
All right. Well, you took that one down. but since he's, I don't want to play this game again ever. So I'm going to, just for fun, tell you the other ones we had here. Which one had the tagline, feel the speed, feel the rush?
Hmm. Is this for anybody or are we?
Anybody, yeah.
That definitely sounds familiar. I think that was the first one. I think it was the first one.
Yeah, I'd say first.
See, that one would have tricked you because it was Fast Five.
Jesus.
Damn it. Christ. After I just said that.
Yeah.
Broke my own rule.
Now, this one narrows it down to two. Which movie was released exactly on the 10th anniversary of the original Fast and Furious? So was it the fifth one or the seventh one? Mm. 10 years later.
I'm going to say Fast Five.
I'm going to go seven.
I abstain.
You know what? I'm going to give Mike the point. No, but that was also Fast Five.
Good God.
Which movie used Puerto Rico as a double for Rio de Janeiro?
Five.
Also five. And then a guy named Matt Schultz is in multiple Fast and Furious movies. Which one of the three that we've been using in this game is he not in?
Hmm.
Five.
One, five, or seven?
Probably Fast Five, I guess.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Fast Five again.
All right, Steve?
Yeah, I'd say five.
You're all correct. It's Fast Five.
Who is he? Is he like a stunt guy or is he an actual actor?
No, he's an actual actor who his character, for whatever, he gets his arm really fucked up in the first one by some metal blade or something. Uh-huh. And then he shows up again in five and he's got like a scarred, fucked up arm. And then I forget how he manages to also get to, he doesn't show up again until seven. So he's out from two through six.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he doesn't show up again until seven. Yeah, it's weird. I don't get it. Hmm. But Matt Belknap, you won that game.
No, well, nice. I
and
feel
I'll tell you about your winnings. I'll tell you about exactly what you won.
Okay.
After these commercial messages. How's that? That's an amazing tease.
That's pretty good.
Very nice.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back. Matt, I know you've had a little time to think about this.
Oh, yeah. My mind's running wild.
There's so many things you could have won, and what you win for taking down that first game is you get to go first in our final game today.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've noticed this one, Matt, because Ryan's been at the helm for a lot of these Doug Loves movies lately.
Yeah.
Have you been able to check out the game Weird Algorithm?
It does sound a little familiar. Tell me how it works, and I'll tell you if I remember. Because I've done a couple of these. Actually, I think I might have been producing when the last time Mike was on. So, Mike, do you know this game?
I
don't think he does.
I don't recall.
Yeah. No, it's messed up. called Weird Algorithm because IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, has a function now where when you look up the cast of a movie, you click on the thing that says see all, it gives you the whole list. And then it says, hey, you want to refine that list? Would you like to see these people listed in the order of their popularity?
Right.
Rather
than billing. No actor needs to find out about this.
Oh my God.
Looking yourself up could be painful, but
Steve, don't go near this thing.
I'm so tempted.
I mean, if you have reasonable expectations also, it's probably not that bad, but for big stars, it could be quite jarring. And some of the supporting players and bit parts in their movie are more popular today. Cause I looked this thing up either yesterday or today. So it's like, this is popular according to IMDb's algorithm, which is very strange and hard to figure out.
Yeah. This is based on their proprietary star meter system. Is that right?
I think it somewhat is, but I don't know what boosts people up the most other than it does feel like being in the news in a big way does make their star meter go up, and then that makes them go up on this thing as well.
What if you're famous because you murdered a bunch of people in real life? Does it make your star meter go up?
I bet it does.
Probably, yeah.
I think if you're, you know, also in movies or TV,
you
know, it's unfortunately most of the serial killers aren't really known until they get caught.
True.
Yeah.
I said, unfortunately. Okay, so here's how it works. Each of you will get a chance to go first, but Matt gets the first round. I'll name a movie, and Matt gets to be the first one to tell me who he thinks from that movie would be the top billed person in the movie, because that's worth the most points. If you name the top billed person, you get 3 points. Second billed, 2. Third billed, 1. Anything below that, you don't get anything. And you can also share answers, and you can do all your math out loud. It's just a matter of making sure everybody's locked in on picking someone.
Yeah, I do. I have heard you play this game, and I just remembered there was like a director was in there. Are you doing the directors are still involved too, or is it just cast?
Directors can slip in, but I think in that case it might have been because that director played a cameo in the movie.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Or, I think, in fact, also it was a cameo by a director who did not direct that movie.
Right. And it was confusing because their rating was high because of their directing work recently, but they were a cameo in this movie. And so you have to kind of think that way, too, sometimes, which is hard to do.
Yeah. It's so weird. I was, Jeff Tate and I play this game on Periscope every day where, you know, a movie trivia game, and so I had to do some research on Spies Like Us recently.
Oh, and wow.
That John Landis movie, he had gotten so out of hand with the casting cameos by other directors. It is crazy how many directors have random little parts, and especially considering how terrible that movie turned out, to have all these distinguished directors in there playing, you know, like fucking David Cronenberg and shit like that.
Oh, weird.
And it's a gag for nobody, because not even people who are fans of directors, especially back then, tended to even know what they look like.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So anyway, here we go. And, you know, like I said, feel free to talk your way through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shared information game, because it's also something we can play on the internet. Assuming no one is cheating and looking stuff up on their There's no prizes, so why cheat? Is what I say. Yet there's still people who would. All right. None of you guys, though.
No.
Matt, I almost called you Casper. That was close. Matt, I mean, Casper's a fun guest to have just because when in your life do you get to just constantly refer to someone by the name Casper?
I know.
Appropriately.
You never guessed. It's just, it's crazy. Okay. The movie, Matt, is Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. The first one?
Yes. I don't know if is the second one. Do they have like the cast list on IMDb already?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh man.
Okay, so
I should have looked at that. But anyway, this is the first one, so
yeah.
Steve's okay. Feelings can't get hurt by this.
They wouldn't be hurt anyway.
So I haven't seen this movie, but I sort of have some clue as to who's in it. It seems like the obvious answer is Will Smith, but knowing how the algorithm is a little bit fickle and weighted towards recent events, I feel like I have to think about that. There's Margot Robbie might be above him at this point. Who else is in it? Let me think about that too. You know what? Because what has Margot Robbie done recently? She had something going on this summer, didn't she? She was promoting something. I'm not going to overthink this. I'm just going to say Margot Robbie.
All right. That's what Matt's working with. What do you think? Mike,
I'm gonna place the safe bet, man. I'm gonna say Will. I'm gonna go ahead and say Will. I'm gonna say he's top billed according to the weird algorithm.
Okay. I mean, they did just announce that they're gonna make a Bright 2.
Oh no, they didn't. You're lying.
Hey, I'm telling you.
No way. There's no way.
It's happening, man.
Oh no.
I mean, maybe it's not because, you know, everything's kind of up in the air at this point, but they intend to make a second.
Oh, Jesus.
They're also making that the dramatic 1 hour Fresh Prince of Bel-Air series that he's producing. Have you heard about that?
No, come on.
No, that's
actually that is real.
That's real. Wow. That's real.
And nobody wants it, but it's happening anyway.
Yeah. I guess it's got, you know, I think it looks like it's good. It, basically what happened is like a film student made a trailer about like, what if the Fresh Prince was like Riverdale basically.
Yeah.
And then Will Smith saw it and he like flew to wherever that guy was to meet him and talk to him about it. And then they partnered up.
Wow. I feel like Will Smith is the busiest man in the world who somehow also always bored. Don't understand it.
He's like yawning while learning how to shoot a gun. Okay, so because he has to learn new guns practically every movie he does. What's your thought, Steve?
Well, I think based on algorithms, Matt's probably right with Margot, but I think maybe just to give a different answer, I want to say Viola Davis, but maybe also based on algorithms, I'll just go with David Harbour.
Oh, okay.
Jared Leto's in that too, ain't he?
Mm-hmm. Like, that's true, yeah.
That's another, you know, he could throw this shit off in a major way. Not that I'm going to change my vote, but maybe somebody else wants to.
All right, so Matt's going with Margot, Mike's sticking with Will Smith, and Steve goes David Harbour. David Harbour. Glad you all dodged the bullet on Jared Leto, because he came in seventh.
Oof.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Third place, somebody's getting a point. Will Smith.
Whoa, okay.
Third.
Okay.
Wow. Third.
I'll take a point. I'll take a point.
Yeah. Oh, shit. It's going to be more than one other of the players has.
Uh-oh.
Coming in at number two, uncredited, but definitely there, Mr. Ben Affleck.
Wow.
Oh. Batman. Fuck, I forgot he was in that.
Damn.
Yeah. He shows up and he's like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then and then number one, 3 points to Matt Belknap for Margot Robbie.
Yeah,
damn, man, nice.
It's still anybody's game. You don't know what movies I'm going to throw at you. You don't know how crazy the algorithm's going to get. Who's up next? Mike.
Yeah.
You get to go first this time. I think this just celebrated an anniversary, a major milestone. The classic film Purple Rain.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Then mine must be reeling. Like, why would we even...
Jesus.
This one should... Wouldn't this just be obvious?
I mean, there's... okay. Jeepers, man. So, I mean, but the fact that you're asking, it means there's a curveball in here somewhere. And I can't think... I mean, Morris Day is pretty... But he wouldn't on a... He ain't done nothing else in movies except except Jay and Silent Bob or something.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna take Prince. I'm gonna take Prince. I'm gonna take Prince.
All right. Yeah. Steve.
Jesus. Apollonia.
That was literally the only other name I could pull. I thought of Morris Day and Prince and Apollonia. Those I can't even think of a third or fourth person.
I'll tell you this. I'm getting this feeling like somebody who played one of his parents was famous in it, but I can't remember who the hell they were.
Yeah, there's got to be real actors in it, right? Like, yeah. I just can't think of them, any of them.
I feel like his dad was somebody, but I can't remember who the hell it was.
Yeah, probably someone who's still alive and working, so they would potentially be higher than Prince. Well, Steve, is that your final answer, Apollonia?
Yeah.
My turn? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, it's to me then. I could take a complete shot in the dark and try to think of an actor who would have played, like his dad or something, having no... memory of who that would be, but I think I'm just gonna play it safe and say Prince, because I can also say Prince, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I think
so. Let's go back to Steve. Let's circle back. Do you still want to stick with Apollonia?
Yeah, just have a different answer. Yeah.
All right. Well, we just said you don't have to have a different answer.
I know. But for some reason, it's Apollonia, this is going to be huge.
Yeah.
I will say the only other name that keeps coming to my head is Edward James Olmos, but I have no clue if he's in it or not. Don't know why I think he would be in it, but it seems like something he might have been in. I don't know.
He's doing origami.
The amount of Doug laughter on the call right now tells me he is not in it.
I'm just like even trying to figure out if there was a part he could even play.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cause it's yeah. All right, let's break it down. That's what I was trying. I was trying to think if there's any larger parts for, you know, people not of color who are, you know, white or Hispanic. Lisa and Wendy,
yeah,
from Prince's band, they came in at number 7 and 8. Number
for a second,
six,
I thought you were going to say they shared a spot, like they had to share billing as one person, as a unit.
But they did come in one after the other, and I'm not even going to say which came first, because if they're listening, I don't want them to feel bad.
For sure it was Wendy Melvoin.
They're both very talented. Totally. I've seen them perform, you know, in various situations, and I think they're great. Also great, the great Morris Day. He came in at number 6.
Wow, 6.
I know, shocking. And then 5th, I didn't even write it down, but it's that like kind of, there is that kind of white girl with the white hair who's like kind of a groupie who's trying to, or she wants to sing and she's trying to get in there, but they kind of dismiss her as a character pretty quickly, I think. And then 4th was the woman who plays Prince's mom. And now I can't think of it. It's Olga somebody. But coming in 3rd position, Apollonia.
Apollonia.
Oh, nice. Good guess.
Steve Agee's on the board.
Here we go.
Yeah. And then number 2, worth 2 points, Prince.
All right. Okay. Now, what the hell shenanigans is going on?
Yeah, who directed it? Who directed Purple Rain?
Oh, that's a good question.
It was directed by, God, what's that guy's name?
Okay, then mostly, it's clearly
he did music videos. Like, okay. He's not a guy who went on to direct a ton of movies. I think he only directed Prince's follow-up movie, and then that was it, maybe. I want to say Ragnoli or something like that. Anyway, there was a gentleman who played Prince's father. His abusive father, so we know where his character gets it from. And he was the star of a TV show in the 70s called The Mod Squad.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And his name is Clarence Williams III.
I see.
There you go.
Number one. I have no idea why. What's Clarence up to?
What has he done?
I don't even think he's alive.
Oh, my God. How did he beat Prince?
I don't know how he did it.
Prince in the movie. We know that.
Yeah. No, he's continuing.
Keeps beating him. Even in death, he's... won't let up.
I mean, maybe he's alive. I take that back.
He must be in something, or there must be some recent project.
I have no idea how he managed to pull it off, but good for him.
Yeah.
And we have a really tight game here, except for Steve. Matt has 5 points, and Mike has 3, and Steve has 1. But
Fast 5. is it Vin Diesel?
I think you get to go first this round, though, Steve. So okay. That's exciting.
Okay.
And Clarence Williams III is still alive, thank goodness.
Oh, good.
That was a close one. Oh, while I'm there, I might as well see what his most recent credit is, right?
Yeah.
Where's his filmography? Oh, there it is. 110 things he's acted in. And the last thing he did was in 2018, a movie called American Nightmares.
Hmm.
Yeah, whatever that is. It pulled him out of retirement for it, I guess. The film, Steve, is The Lost Boys.
Great.
Which are they? They're remaking that, I believe, right? Is that in the works?
I think that's the talk, is that they're going to try to do it again.
Good luck. That's a classic.
It's a classic in terms of, like, I dig the tone of it and the visuals and stuff. I guess it's kind of scary in parts, but somebody could make a new one that
definitely
takes it in a different way.
Yeah, I feel like it doesn't hold up super well. It's very 80s and
very dated. Yeah,
it's, you're right, it has a distinctive style to it, that Joel Schumacher style, but it's kind of corny.
Yeah, and he really didn't do Corey Haim any favors by decorating his room with a Rob Lowe poster.
Rob Lowe poster.
Oh, my God.
Right. He says he did it because Rob Lowe starred in his previous movie, St. Elmo's Fire.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a picture of Rob Lowe lifting his shirt up. Like, it's why would a 12-year-old boy, or what? Yeah. How old is he supposed to be? Why would he have that?
Yeah,
it's weird.
Although, on the other hand, though, he is a weird kid.
Yeah, well, I think it's like Joel Schumacher definitely wanted to get a little bit of, like, in the 80s, you couldn't just make a movie about gay vampires, but he wanted there to be some gay vibes to the movie. So he just, anything, like the dude playing the saxophone, is all oiled up and crazy.
Oh my God.
It was just a little bit of homoeroticism sprinkled on top of this standard Hollywood movie.
Well, that being said, what do you think, Steve? Who's number one?
It's God, for me, it's between two people.
Torn between two people.
And this is based on algorithm, so this is probably like what's current.
I like to think that, but Clarence Williams III hasn't been in a movie for 2 years.
Yeah. Then, God damn it. So I'll go with Kiefer Sutherland.
The Fugitive.
That's right.
I was weirdly surprised that he's not the fugitive. He's the guy chasing the fugitive.
Yes.
Which makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
But
I'm just sort of like, why, Kiefer, the guy's been wrongly accused. You seem like you're better than that, than to chase the guy who's been wrongly accused. You know what I mean? Jack Bauer wasn't about chasing the wrongly accused.
Yeah.
He was into chasing people nobody knew was guilty or even knew existed. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, Kiefer Sutherland seems like the obvious choice. I'm trying to think if there's somebody in a small part. I can't remember any of the actresses, like, who I know there were at least two.
One of my first teenage crushes is in the...
Oh, okay. But you're not going with that. So you know the name, but you're not. Is it Jennifer Connelly? Is she in that movie?
No.
Okay.
Was your crush Jason Patrick?
Nope, it was Rob Lowe.
Even the poster. One of his best performances as that poster.
And the poster also is on the inside of the closet door.
Right. It's the subtext couldn't be clearer.
It's really wild.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so I think honestly, I was thinking of Kiefer Sutherland. I don't think Jason Patrick's done much recently, so I feel like I can rule him out. But then I kind of weirdly feel like this could be a trick question, and that maybe the living Corey Feldman might actually be algorithmically the most relevant person in this moment. But I don't know why he would be. I'm gonna say Feldman though.
What an interesting label, the living Corey. The living one. Okay. So, Mike, you've heard
a lot of talk. I'm not good at this kind of stuff, so I'm going to go with the safe money, which means I'm going to answer in the least interesting way possible, and also say Kiefer Sutherland.
Okay. Well, I like that move. Let's see what it does.
Can I tell you who my second would have been?
Who's
that?
Diane Wiest.
Oh, mom. Yeah.
She's so good.
She's still working a lot.
She's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's and she also, for a while, like, remember on one of the Law and Order shows, she, like, had gained a lot of weight. And now she's she's back down to, I was going to say normal, but that's not fair.
Steve, who was your crush? It was Diane Wiest?
Jamie Gertz.
Oh, Jamie Gertz. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Gertz was the lost girl.
Right.
And Wiest was Corey Haim's single mom just trying to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
But then she starts dating a vampire.
Tale as old as time.
Okay, number six.
Also, Bill S. Preston Esquire is in the movie.
Alex Winter, that is correct.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to choose from. This is a complicated one.
That's a good answer, though, because of the new Bill and Ted movie. That he might be the top answer.
Oh, God, it's too bad you're thinking of all this now.
I forgot he was in it, and he's right on the poster. Like, that's the, you know, I can picture that poster.
And
this
he's
direct. This is like two out of three of the people driving home from Jeopardy.
Oh, damn it.
Only one winner. Coming in at number six is Mr. Corey Feldman.
Damn it.
All the way at number six. Number five is Jason Patrick. And then, in a stunning turn, at only four, Kiefer Sutherland.
Get out of here. Yeah.
It's going to be Diane Wiest.
And number three is Corey Haim, which is impressive because he's been not with us for a while.
Good for him.
Number two, the aforementioned Alex Winter.
Wow.
Who barely speaks in Lost Boys, as I remember it.
Right.
And... number one, Jamie Gertz.
Yeah. No!
Wow.
Hey.
What is she doing right now?
What is Jamie Gertz doing right now to get the number one spot?
Is she on a TV show or something?
She must be.
Huh. I did a movie with her, a Jeff Garland movie that she was in. But that was like, 5 years ago.
Oh, okay. So that maybe it's, you know, just now catching on.
Yeah. That means your stars are rising, Steve.
What was the movie called? Do you remember?
Yeah, Dealing with Idiots. It was about little league parents.
Sorry. Oh, I was hoping it took place in a casino.
dealing.
Jamie so Gertz, that means that Matt Belknap's our winner.
Oh, hey.
Wow.
You did
That's
it.
Exciting. Thank you.
Yeah, you took it down. It's great to have you back. Last minute edition.
Yeah.
And you won the thing. Do you have anything that that you'd like to promote?
You know, what's funny is two things I've been recently doing in quarantine. I've been watching Superstore, which features Steve Agee. So I've been enjoying Steve on that show a lot. And I just started listening to Open Mike Eagle's podcast, What Had Happened Was, which is about the great rap producer Prince Paul. So check out those two things before those guys even get to promote them themselves.
Well, that's just lovely.
So nice. It really is. They're not going to plug shit at yours.
I know. That's okay. I mean, check out Never Not Funny if you want to listen to a different comedy podcast when you're done with this one. But yeah.
Finish this one first.
Yeah, please. Finish this one. It's almost over. You're so close. So close to being done with it. But yeah, check out Never Not Funny wherever you get podcasts, and then check out Mike's podcast if you like 90s hip hop, because it's great. And Superstore is super entertaining. My whole family, where I'm watching it with my kids, and they love it. So
Yeah, nice.
They don't go blue at all in Superstore?
They actually do.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It kind of goes over their heads, I guess.
We say fuck a lot, and they bleep. They just bleep it. really do. It's crazy.
I know. I love that. I love that they do that. But yeah, it's and there's definitely adult themes and topics. But yeah, like there was one episode where there's like some just very open abortion jokes flying around, and I was like, okay, this is cool. I get to explain to my 8-year-old son what an abortion is now. But he didn't ask. Yeah, I think he just decided I'll figure that out later, maybe.
What's a gagortion?
Well, thank you, Matt. Open Mike Eagle, the new album is called 3 words.
It is.
Anime, a second word, and divorce. See, I'm getting closer to learning it.
That's good, man. Third time's a charm, maybe. But anime, trauma, and divorce, October 16th. That'll be on all of the music things.
Lovely. Thank you for being here.
Of course.
And Steve Agee, star of Superstore.
I don't know, star.
The Alec Guinness of the next Suicide Squad.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Multiple roles. What else? Anything else?
No, I think that's it. I mean, Superstore actually starts up again in a couple weeks, and I'm scheduled to do a few more, so keep an eye out for that. And then Suicide Squad next August.
So they're like going to do some safe shooting of that show somehow?
They are. From everything I've heard, it sounds like really, really safe. So it doesn't mean I'm not really fucking nervous, but yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be weird because it's going to like, you know, sets are already kind of, you know, tense because everybody's, you know, trying to do good work or whatever. And then to have this on top, to have that extra concern on top of it. Yeah. It seems like a bummer, but at least, you know, at least people will be working and making that show that that Matt can watch with his family despite all the fuck bombs.
Yeah. Your family fuck bombs.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing my first internet stand-up headliner show and meet and greet at rushtix.com, T-I-X, rushtix.com to get your tickets. It's on Saturday, October 3rd. At 4:20 Pacific time. I'll have special guests. It'll be fun. Speaking of special guests, thank you one more time to Open Mike Eagle, Steve Agee, and Casper Van Dien. I wanted to say the last line from, I've been closing with last lines from movies, and I wanted to say the last line from Starship Troopers to end the show, but it's so hard to find sometimes what the last line of a movie is just by asking the internet.
Yeah.
But I think it goes like this. Are you ready with the end theme, Matt?
I am indeed.
All right. I think it goes like this. We need you all. Service guarantees citizenship.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart